Welcome. How are you guys doing tonight?
It is.
I don't even know what day it is. It's Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Well, actually, now it's Monday. But hope you guys are doing well. My room is filled with wonderful, bizarre knickknacks. This is a Doctor Who TARDIS. That's like a big stuffed pillow that I was given from a friend of mine. And I don't know if you've ever seen that show, but we love it, actually. Now, we haven't really watched it since the new female doctor made her appearance this last year, but we started watching a couple of those episodes and then lost a little bit of the momentum with Basics of Life. And anyway, we've been big fans of Doctor Who for a while. So, and ultimately, the very first Doctor that I remember seeing was probably when I was a kid with Tom Baker. But I just really didn't watch it faithfully. I was more interested in the monkeys as a kid, watching that on television. And so anyway, but we started watching it when Christopher Eccleston was finished, and David Tennant was probably just wrapping up his tour, and it was Matt Smith that we jumped into. And I remember, though, that we went back and we watched all of the Christopher Eccleston and all of the David Tennant, and then of course fell in love with Matt Smith. So we've been Whovians for quite a while. Interesting for my family to enjoy that as a whole. There's not a lot of shows that we all will sit down and watch together, but that was one that was really kind of cool. So anyway, I don't know if any of you have ever found yourself watching Doctor Who. The graphics can be a little bit of a deterrent at first. Like, they're not great. And so if you're looking for some sort of cinematic, amazing CGI, then you're going to be a little bit disappointed, because you look at it and you think, my gosh, is that just a plunger, like stuck to some sort of pyramid-like, you know, robot with some mechanical voice? I mean, that can't be that daunting. And yeah, when you watch the series and you kind of fall in love with the characters, you realize that it's got such a heritage and a history. So anyway, I wanted to tell you this story because I want to tell you a different story. A few years ago now, a couple years ago, I had open heart surgery. And if you are wondering, I didn't die. All right, so there's that. So I went into open heart surgery, and I don't know why they removed a leg. But here's the thing, is that when you're done, then you have to go in for all of these, like, checkups, okay? You have to go in for all these checkups, right? How you doing? And what we realized early on is that having conversations with people who are surgeons is really like talking to almost like a wall. They have no feeling whatsoever, no emotion. It's so matter of fact and scientific, and they get all geeked out about, you know, problems. So I appreciate them, I have to be honest. But I thought I was going to try to make them laugh. That's what I was thinking I would do. I'd be funny with them. And then I realized they don't have a sense of humor. So that's beautiful. They are like robots. So anyway, I ended up I had to go to the surgeons a few times after my open heart surgery, okay? And the surgeon was obviously too busy. He was probably like doing surgery. And so I ended up speaking to the physician's assistant. And this physician's assistant was kind of she was a prettier lady. And she was very like responsive to me. And Linda was in there, my wife was in there with me. And so I had a million questions, because there were a lot of things about this surgery that I had that were different from the first open heart surgery I had. So I wanted to get all the info I could out of this lady, who was so receptive to me and my conversation and my questions. So I just went through all these things. I'm like, you know, when I lean over, it's like I can hear my heart beating really loud, you know, and it was now a mechanical valve. And so I'm having all these conversations. She's like, yeah, that's normal. That's going to be, you're going to be able to hear your heart now because of the valve, and it's going to be a little bit loud. And So we had all these questions, and then at one point she says, can I, let me see some of the scars. And one of the things they do is they actually will cut down by your groin and, try to tap into the carotid artery and just for the sake of, not grossing everybody out, you know, it can be a little bit painful and crazy. I have a vague memory of a guy like literally perched over me, holding my inner thigh, right before I went in for open heart surgery as they were kind of putting in this, I don't know what the crap they were putting in there, probably like lighter fluid and, you know, asbestos and pain thinner. So, but anyway, I showed her all my scars and, you know, it looks like everything's healing all right. And, okay, great. So I had one more visit later on to make to the surgeon, and in my brain a little bit, I was thinking, I would like to be able to talk to this lady again. I mean, the surgeon is just not going to work for me. I need to talk to the lady. So, and so I come back. Now, this is probably about a week or two later, right? And I mean, the way my body is trying to process the surgery and all the drugs I was taking and just kind of starting to detox and clean out and all that good stuff, you know, I mean, I'm not always the most alert duck in the pond, we'll say that, right? But so I get there and so I go through my questions again. Here's all my new questions from this week's, you know, hypochondriac list. And so I'm talking to the same lady. She was there. And then finally, as we were kind of getting ready to wrap up, she says to me, can I take a look at your scar? And so I stood up, I unbuttoned my pants and I started unzipping my pants. And my wife stops and she looks over at me. She says, the scar that's on your chest, you know, the one that's 8 inches long going from right the top down to your sternum, you know, that scar, not the scar from when they put that small tube into your, you know, carotid artery in your groin. And I just remember we all started laughing uncontrollably because I, of course, the first thought I have is I should probably show her my inner thigh, unzip my pants. And that's clearly the scar that she wants to see. And so Linda and I, we just were dying and I was embarrassed. And this lady was so charitable and funny. And I said, well, that's at least something you can talk about to your friends later on today. You know, then I wanted to see his scar and he began to unzip his pants. So, you know, he's that kind of guy. Okay. I bring this all up. Now I want to go to a different story that kind of connects all this together. So I was in New Jersey with some good friends of mine. Doing some ministry stuff. I don't know. This is probably a couple years ago now. And so it was not long after my surgery. And it was actually right when the female doctor made her appearance for Doctor Who. Okay. All right. So we did a talk on basically marriage and ministry, my wife and I. And we do this. We wrote a book called Marriage and Ministry, How to Have One Without Destroying the Other. And I have like a million over here and now none are here. So anyway, it's called Marriage and Ministry, How to Have One Without Destroying the Other. So we did this talk, and at the end we opened it up for questions. And one of the parts of our talk is we just talk about we're kind of a nerdy family, so we love Lord of the Rings and we love Star Wars and Star Trek and Doctor Who and you name it, we love it. In fact, we loved the remake of Battlestar Galactica. I remember watching Battlestar Galactica when I was a kid. I loved Buck Rogers. Do you remember that? That was amazing. I think it was Linda Gray. Maybe it was the girl, and then Twiggy. It was amazing. All right, so anyway, we've always kind of been that nerdy of a family, and so we're hanging out, and then we opened it up for questions, and this person says, she asks this, what do you think of the female doctor? And in my mind, I immediately started thinking, who should answer this question? Probably Linda. She's the one who goes to the gynecologist, not me. So I said, you mean like a gynecologist? And the entire audience just lost it. It was so hilarious. And Linda, of course, knew immediately that they were talking about Doctor Who. And I went to gynecologist. This is the problem here with me, is that my brain is tracking on a different path than normal people, okay? And I use the word normal because apparently I'm a little abnormal. I mean, okay, whatever, be that as it may. But I'm just simply saying that sometimes you have to be a little extra clear if you want me to answer the question in the way that you want the question answered, right? You can't just say, tell me about the female doctor, and then assume that I immediately know you're talking about the new female doctor from Doctor Who. And yes, the context would easily be, well, you mentioned it in the talk at one point, so that's clearly what it's referring to. But I may not be thinking that way. So when you ask the question, what do you think of the female doctor? I mean, I'm listening to the question, and so I'm immediately thinking gynecologist. I don't think that it's out of line. I just think if you're going to ask a question, then don't be irritated if I respond literally, like, show me the scar. Okay, I'll show you the scar on my inner thigh, right? In my groin area. Sure, I'll show you that scar. That's what's happened. Now think about this fact of being married to me and having a conversation with me that never goes the way that you would plan for the conversation to go. That is the great reality of what Linda is experiencing on a regular basis. Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? So if you are praying people, it's possible you should pray for Linda so she can endure the reality of being quarantined with me this long, okay? It's only going to go downhill from here. The longer we're stuck in this place together, the more probable it is for me to answer questions in a way that has nothing to really do with what she's trying for me to answer. I just had to get that off my chest. Who do we got here tonight? It's good to see Bobby. How you doing, Bobby Campbell? Claw, what's going on, my friend? You are a night owl. It's good to see you, Michael DeRocher. You're over there in Cali, baby. Good to see you, Sarah. You're awesome. It's good to see you again. And so say we all. I just spit out my toothpaste. Let me just say something. Can we talk about, let's talk about changing clothes and toothpaste. First of all, how many of you are wearing repeat clothing on a regular basis? That's the question, right? How many of you do not feel the compulsion to change your clothes? Who's going to know? Who's going to know and who's going to care? Here's the other question. How many of you are brushing your teeth every day? And do you judge people who don't, asking for a friend? Here's the deal. When I was a kid, and this is the 70s, they would shellac our teeth, okay? They basically, I don't know what they put over. It was like a shellac, some sort of like weird veneer, some plastic coating that just went over everybody's teeth, you know, epoxied it. And so like nothing could penetrate it. Like, so ultimately, the only thing that could probably penetrate it is somebody's homemade granola, and then it would just break a tooth. So here's the interesting thing is that, I have a child, I won't say who, but this child brushed their teeth somewhat regularly and went to a dentist, and they had like 20 cavities. This to me seemed super fishy, because there's a part of me that just thought, this can't possibly be true. Do we even have 20 teeth in our mouth? But secondly, that would almost necessitate that you didn't brush your teeth ever in your life. I mean, it seems a little sketch. And then the other part of this, it just made me think, they get money for each cavity. And so I began to think that it's quite possible that they were making cavities up. Now, I don't know. But I think we are stopping going to that. Now, my daughter looks like she's been on meth for years now, and she has no teeth left in her mouth. But otherwise, we don't believe she has that many cavities. Probably because she doesn't have that many teeth left in her mouth now. So anyway, let's see here. I put button pants on every Sunday to make sure they still fit. So far, so good. It ain't pretty, though. That's funny, Valerie. I will say this about button pants. Okay, I wear button pants too, because that's usually how pants are. Otherwise, they're called sweatpants. Okay, whatever. Okay, I almost was going to have like a really cool comeback, you know. Otherwise, they're going to be called sweats. But actually, if you say the full word, it says sweatpants. All right, so whatever. I have these pants. I'm wearing them tonight. And what it does is they're so tight on me that it's almost like it's like razor wire going around my waist. It's what it's like. And so it's pretty much there's going to be a balance of it's cutting deeper into my hips, the waistline, and but also because it's so tight, it's like a tourniquet as well. So when I finally take off the pants tonight, to of course show the scar to, you know, the cardiologist later, it's possible my whole top torso will just completely separate from my bottom half, just like that movie we just watched last night, Onward, on Disney. So anyway, yoga pants. Okay, listen to me, Colleen, you're a girl. So I assume you can wear yoga pants every day if you want. That's the in thing, right? Okay, so whatever. Like, hey, look at, I'm not hiding anything. So anyway, guys, we can't wear yoga pants. All right, I can't even think of a single guy I know who would wear yoga pants, because I think it's possible. I think a guy invented yoga pants. Think about it. That's all I'm going to say. I think a guy invented yoga pants or leggings with a long top. That top would have to almost go down to my ankles for me to wear leggings. I'm not sure, though, I do understand officially what leggings are. Are they not yoga pants? What's the difference? Look. So these buttons on pants kind of deal, here's the problem. The buttons on my pants are straining for their life. They are holding on for dear life. The buttons on my pants, as a traditional rule, are on the edge of basically releasing their hold on the cloth and flinging into a bystander. So part of me is a little afraid to wear pants with buttons for fear of basically taking a life. You know, bam, what happened? Well, he was killed by a button. Where did it come from? See that guy over there that's shaped like an egg? Yeah, it's him. He tried to put on pants that clearly don't fit him properly, right? Well, he should be wearing yoga pants. Well, he's a guy, and he doesn't. So that's why. Okay. You know, here's the problem. I'm trying to communicate with you guys, and you're answering stuff, but I don't know where that goes. I don't even know where that goes. So, Sarah, you just said no. Is that, are leggings the same as yoga pants? And are you answering that question? Or are you saying no to something previous in this conversation? That's the thing. Here's the other part of this. I do go through and rewatch this when I'm done, just to see, you know, how many words I mispronounce, and if I have a lazy eye, or if I look like I'm completely, you know, unhinged. And so far, crushing it. But then I try to respond to everybody's questions, okay? And so I want to apologize for that, because I've already been responding to people's questions so wrong and goofy. It doesn't even make sense at this point. I almost have lost the will to try and respond to the questions, because I don't even make sense. All right. I just look even more ridiculous trying to respond to the questions, is what I'm saying. Yoga pants makes me think of the spandex advent. Remember when they first hit the market in the 1980s? Bobby, first of all, anyone who says the word Advent, it's literally Advent for a Catholic calendar. That's the only thing anyone ever uses that word for. You could say spandex when they first came out, and then I'll know what you're talking about. Did you not hear me in the whole beginning of this thing here tonight is that I have a problem when it comes to, like, following on a lane of somebody's train of thought? Like, I'm over here and you're here, so you're using the word Advent, and immediately I'm thinking of Advent, like Advent, right before Christmas, Advent. In the 80s. I remember the 80s, although all of us were basically dying from hairnet, and the amount of Brut by Fabergé was completely... Talk about respiratory problems. Yeah, that was hardcore back then. And IKR, Marcy. I hope you know what IKR stands for. I'm going with I know right. That's what I'm going with. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe I just need a hug. That's funny, actually, Marissa. Nobody's allowed to hug anyone in my family because nobody wants to get the coronavirus. Social distancing. My wife's been really a big fan of the social distancing. I don't know why. That's a funny joke. All right, so here we go. Basically, I wanted to talk just a little bit tonight about technology. So finally, you know, what's nice is that in the zombie apocalypse right now, we still have modern technology. This is a big deal, right? Okay. And you know, if you've ever read any of the apocalyptic books and stuff like that, usually there is no technology. So you have like electromagnetic pulse and it takes out technology and all that stuff. So you have these people almost kind of going back to a primitive way of living. Well, we're all like trapped in our houses now, obviously. And so that's crazy. But we have the internet, so we're able to communicate with each other, which is pretty cool, okay? Which is pretty awesome. And so I'm, because of what I do for a living, I do speaking all over the world. Usually it's not like this. It's not at 1:30, 2 in the morning with me ranting. Linda said to me today, she says, Chris, if you're so sleepy and you're not coherent, maybe you should rethink doing these at night. And I thought, coherent? What are you talking about? So I learned, my son taught me Venmo, okay, which is probably in retrospect just an excuse for him to basically say, hey dad, can you Venmo me money? I think that's probably what it is, that he's strategic is what he is. He's strategic here. And then I figured out, so PayPal, if people wanted to do that, support us, we can do the PayPal thing. That's kind of cool. But that seems to be old people a lot of times do PayPal. Venmo seems to be really the hip thing with younger kids. And then there's Patreon. And so I've signed up for all these things. I like the idea of Patreon. I'm going to do this and create some exclusive content for people there who subscribe. Here's the problem. I don't know how to upload what I'm doing to Patreon, and I don't know how to let people know to go to Patreon. I think it's just my name, Chris Badgett, but I'll figure it out, and then I'll let you guys know. Because there is actually real content that I put out now and then on things. So, like, people can actually, like, get real material. This is just rant. James Solomon, it's great to see you, brother. Yeah, man. You're so funny. You brought a lot of joy to us on the road, dude. James was like the perfect roadie and a good friend. And he used to travel with us when we were in the van. Scarecrow and Timon in the old days. So it's good to see him here. Anyway, technology. What's kind of been cool, though, is, in the old days, when we wanted to communicate and hang out with people, what we did was, right, we had the big reunions. And thank God those days are fairly over. We can all find out, like, almost everybody we've ever met is online somewhere. And so it is pretty special that we can communicate with those kind of folks, people from our past, people we've met, and keep in touch. And it's been a real blessing for me. I have great friends from South Dakota before that, when I lived in North Dakota as a kid, when I was down in Florida living there, and Ohio, and now up in New York. And so it's really kind of awesome to be able to reach out and just build community and encourage each other. But what's also kind of cool is, just because I travel for a living, I get to keep in touch with like my extended family that's all over the place. And there's Matt Miller. He's in the Denver area. He's a great friend. And James, I'm assuming you're still down in Florida. And Marcy, yeah, I'm so glad that you're here. Leslie and Sarah. And anyway, a lot of good friends. Colleen, thank you for tuning in. All right, so let's go back to technology here real quick. So I still can remember some of my early cell phones, right? And having a conversation with someone that basically was this: wouldn't it be cool if I could get my email on my phone? And do you remember the old days with dial up internet? It just took forever, and just kind of that slow, it was like a slow trudge towards, you know, kind of advancement. And then bam, it's like all of a sudden things just kick into high gear. And I remember when I first got that phone, it was probably like an iPhone that did everything like together. And I just, this is the greatest thing ever. And then I remember when I went to New Zealand for the first time, I had the chance to FaceTime with my family. And I'm literally on the other side of the world, and I'm using my computer, and I'm like, bam, right there with them, and they're right with me, and we're having a real conversation. And it was like, I can't even believe this. Like, look at what technology has done. And now today, you know, we have the chance to reach out to our youth groups that we're working with, or to put on events and play concerts, and everybody can upload these funny things that we're so glad nobody uploaded when we were kids growing up in the 70s and 80s. You know, the thing is that everybody thinks they're so hip and so funny and so great, right? But if there would have been a video camera for us in the 70s and 80s, we would have crushed it, because this was during a time when nobody cared what we were doing. Are you listening to me? Like, literally, our parents would be like, okay, just come home for dinner. And then all day long, we'd be like going into abandoned buildings, lighting fires, stealing crap, you know, whatever. Riding our bikes like we were some sort of a gang with a basket for E.T., thugging out in the Dakotas. Do you see what I'm saying? Can you imagine back then? Oh my gosh. Videoing all the stupid things that we did when we were kids. You guys, that would have crushed the internet. Like, that would have just completely destroyed it, because first of all, no parental control, or limited at best. Second, like, hours and hours of just free time to do stuff that could put us in jail. There was, you know, nobody was like micromanaging how many people were sitting in the back of the pickup truck. There was no seat belts that people were worried about. Like, our parents were chain smoking with the windows rolled up. You know, nobody could breathe. You know, you think it's tough here, you should try to walk to school. I remember this. We went on it's like a Cub Scout kind of Boy Scout thing, but it was like with our church, I think. Who knows? Nobody knows. But we went out and we had this compass test. You'd take a compass and then you had to find the end, right? And this is true, actually. In the middle of our search, we all of a sudden heard that one of the kids in another group had to go to the emergency room because he got bit by a rattlesnake. This is what it was like growing up in the 70s and the 80s. Hey, you know what? We want you to tramp around out there. Yeah, is it rattlesnake season? Are they just coming out right from their little slumber? Yeah, they are. But, you know, just be careful. You can do it. You're young. You'll bounce back. That's what we grew up in. That's the kind of life we grew up in. Hey, I think you just broke your arm jumping over them, pretending you were Evel Knievel. All right? Here's a lawn dart. Play with that. This is what we experienced. When do you sleep? That is the question, isn't it, Lila? Again, I'm sorry. Names and I are not always so good. Forgive me. Lila? It's Lila, I bet. Von Ree, or Ray. When do I sleep? I'll sleep after this for a little while. And then I got to get up and do a little podcast thing tomorrow with my daughter. And it's going to be awesome. Forgive me. Zombie apocalypse. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I am thinking a zombie apocalypse is probably not realistic. The zombie part, okay? But the apocalypse part, I think that's possible, okay? Here's the interesting thing. What was interesting watching, you know, right, the Walking Dead series and stuff like that, is that you begin to really ask the question, who really are the bad guys here? Who really are the adversaries, the predators, the zombies, you know? And you start to realize, and you know, as the story progresses, that it's got to be us ultimately. I mean, we're predatorial. Unfortunately, we hurt each other more than sometimes anyone else could. This kind of goes back to an idea with a guy named even Ray Bradbury. He's famous for writing a book called Fahrenheit 451, and he wrote The Martian Chronicles and Something Wicked This Way Comes. Oh my gosh, amazing author. One of my all-time favorites. But in The Martian Chronicles, what was interesting, it was just this idea that was almost, you know, we'll go and we'll repopulate a different planet. You know, we'll take a group of people and we'll go up there and we'll start over, you know? And the reality is that they bring everything about themselves into that new place. And so that whole idea of escaping and doing something different is completely for naught, because everything about them, their corruption, their selfishness, their greed, their pride, whatever, all of that's there because it's in them. And, you know, it's interesting to me because no matter what, I mean, and I read a lot of these kind of post-apocalyptic books anyways. And so I think that's part of the main theme is corruption is present. People's manipulation and coercion this kind of anarchy given free reign. I mean, look what happens. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is just imaginative and it's, hypothetical. But then, like, we're living in this time, and I swear to you, not one person that I knew growing up would have said, oh, yeah, that this is going to happen. We'll spend weeks inside during a pandemic and that'll be normal. Nobody will be able to go to churches. We can't go out in public. I mean, yeah, this is normal. We're going to experience that. Yeah. I mean, we looked at this kind of stuff and said, that's great fiction, but, we're living the fiction now. So, I don't think it's going to last, but I'll tell you what, and this is something Linda and I, we talk about a lot, but I do think that, if we get a chance to kind of get back to the normal, there's going to be a lot more people interested in what's going on with prep work and with being careful and being potentially ready. And, you know, in a lot of ways, we moved out here with the Happy Place Homestead to get away and have fun and find our dream and experience it and live it. But we also thought, well, what if the poo hit the fan? What would we do? And so, you know, we had that idea and that mindset, and that's what we've been doing. And I just even was thinking, I don't think we're as ready as I'd like to be. So we're hoping everything kind of gets back to the norm. But I also know that, that human condition of, what I'm talking about. You ever seen those videos where some idiot takes the ice cream out and starts licking the ice cream and puts it back in? Or I just saw one the other day of some dweeb taking out like drinks, you know, off the drink aisle in a grocery store and starts drinking them and puts it back in. And like, I'm just thinking to myself, what is the matter with people? Like, this is like, where is their mother? This kid needed smacked in love and maybe just smacked only emotionally. Somebody's going to be like, I can't believe that you just said something about that. Well, the kid needs to be put in jail. Let's just do that. How about we start with that? The kid goes to jail, okay? But sometimes don't you just feel like if there would have been a mom around basically looking at him saying, you know what, if you do that, there are consequences. And the answer is no. Okay? You're not allowed to spit into a drink that you opened. Okay? No thanks. That's what we did in the... Yeah, that's right, Matt. That's thugging in the Dakotas. I don't think I could even imagine a kid that was not going to get a whooping if they did something stupid. I was more afraid of my mother than any teacher, I'll tell you that. Oh my gosh, that woman was amazing in so many ways, but she was a master at putting the fear of the good Lord in me. Oh gosh, if I had to, and just knowing that if I did something that was going to hurt her, oh, it was just over, you know, like that emotional, I can't believe you would do that. That hurts me so much. And I'd be like, okay, I'm a single, you know, I'm a kid living with a single parent and she's pulling the whole, like, you hurt me bit. So I avoided a lot of junk because my mom was there basically. I'll have to tell you some stories about her in the future, but she's pretty funny. And I can't remember where we put this. I think we put it up on Instagram, but I have a video of her trying to get out of our couch that kicks up, you know, and it leans back. And her trying to get out of the couch is maybe one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And I videoed it and put it up on Instagram. So that just gives you a small glimpse into the reality that was called my childhood right there, that video. And I think my Instagram is just Chris Padgett, together, lowercase, no spaces. And then we might have put it up on Happy Place Homestead YouTube channel, but I don't remember. So I'll try to find out. So real quick, that's what a good mom does. Yup. Kid needed a mom stare. My gosh, that kid needed a mom stare for sure. Off topic for a minute. Thanks, James. Do you know, I still will play You Are My Son, that song, a little bit now and then. Linda and I do all the pre-canas in the diocese, the retreat day. And we'll have a time where we do a little prayer thing and some time of adoration and stuff. So during that time, I'll play the song, the chords. I don't sing it, but I play that song and... it's been a special song for me, for sure. So I found out that I'm on Spotify the other day, which is really kind of cool. There's a lot of projects that I don't even have anymore. So, because I don't do a lot of concerts anymore, it's kind of nice. So in the house, sometimes the kids will ask, you know, Alexa to play, you know, Chris Padgett, and she jumps on and starts playing the music and my little kids, you know, singing the songs. It's kind of a special thing, really. So, anyway, I get some good tonic water. I did not, okay? And here's the problem is that my desk is sticky, and it's freaking me out, and it's making me irritated. And I'm going to have to mess with this tomorrow, probably. But right now, I didn't do tonic water. I really did. I've only had, I have a half a glass of beer I drank tonight, and that's kind of, it's, you know, it's the Easter celebration, so to speak. You know, Sunday is a little mini Easter, and I had a glass of wine at dinner, and that's it. So, but tonic water, it's everywhere. It's literally, my whole floor is sticky. It's disgusting, and I'm going to have to make a kid clean it when they do something wrong, so. All right, I think I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go read a little bit more and get ready for bed. I got to get up tomorrow for a little podcast. So tomorrow, it's kind of cool. Linda will probably be there to help make sure I get on this thing right. But Leah Darrow is going to interview Sarah, my daughter, and I about her her pregnancy and the baby, you know, and being a single mom just her journey. And we feature that on the Happy Place Homestead show. It's episode 7. It's Sarah's story. It's very powerful. And so we're going to do a little podcast and kind of go through that. It's a pretty cool thing. So anyway, good night, Marcy. Good night, Melissa and all of you out there. God bless you guys. Pray for us, and hopefully I'll see you tomorrow night, Lord willing. And if you have any prayer requests, leave them here. We'll add them to our little prayer night that we do. And if you want to support what we're doing here, you can find some of the links for that. I think I put a link in the Facebook page for Patreon, and then PayPal. There's PayPal, and there's Venmo. So if you want to support us, we'd appreciate it. But this is not a high sell, not a big pressure. We just appreciate you and want to be a blessing to you. So God bless. Have a great night. Thank you.